John Moriarty is here from E3 Wealth. I hope you have all the answers for all this stuff.
I was just having a flashback of going to family Thanksgiving.
Similar dynamic.
Yeah. Just feels about the same. I'm always checking my watch as soon as I walk in the door.
Look, someone might say something crazy.
That's right.
Someone might suggest that we take over Greenland, pass the potatoes.
That's right.
Keep on going.
Keep the turkey moving.
Football be
on
soon.
Eat a lot of turkey and go sleep on the couch. Right?
When Uncle Ted says take over Greenland, he doesn't mean it. That's he thinks it's Iceland. So how's business? How are things?
Business is good. It's a lot of conversations being had with business owners this time of year. End of year is always a little crazy trying to figure out what taxes are going to look like, what their year is going to look like. And now the final numbers are coming in and now they're trying to plan going into next year. And, maybe they take a couple weeks off, to kind of relax. They had a great year. Fantastic. Celebrate. Now it's like get right back at it.
So John is it fair to call it a subspecialty? Are you allowed to say things like that?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just from a layman's point of view, John has a subspecialty in helping people who own businesses and entrepreneurs. And my dumb guy reasons for it is that, like, I'm just a W-2 employee. I have two or three deductions I can take. I probably don't need a John Moriarty. But if I were making that money as a business, now there's all sorts of things I can do.
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, the tax code, it's almost like there's two tax codes, one for the employee and then one for the employer.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more what I would call incentives in the tax code for business owners to invest and put money into certain things. And if you invest accordingly, Uncle Sam is going to say, okay, well, that money you're putting into buying that equipment or scaling your business or investing professionally into other asset classes, in the code, we incentivize by giving tax breaks or, areas whereby when you do X, your tax return reports that favorably.
And so from like a third grade civic standpoint, we do that so that we incentivize people to go out there, take risks, invest money, create jobs, hire the W-2 people, and we all go along swimmingly.
Absolutely. Yes. If you think about it, at least in the U.S., from a capitalistic perspective, the large percentage, 80%+ of employees work for small businesses, right? Not large corporations, but really just small businesses. So the idea, and this country was founded on business entrepreneurship. So having a tax code that supports that is really a wonderful thing if you want people to go out, create businesses that are going to grow.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole idea is you want to be successful in business. One of the ways that the government tries to share in that process is, hey, if you're going to put money into certain places that is going to help the overall economy and it benefits you, it's a win-win.
So put your modesty aside. If there are 500,000 plus per year businesses out there listening,
mm-hmm.
not using you,
right.
Percentage of them leaving money on the table?
Oh, 95%. Yeah, just because you don't know what you don't know, right? Depending on who you work with from a investment advisor standpoint, a banker, a tax person, a attorney. Most of those financial professionals are probably helping you with the things that you bring to them, and they kind of stay in their lane. There's very few people that work with business owners who come and say, hey, let's look at some strategies. Let's educate you on things. You tell us about what you're doing, how your business works, what you're trying to accomplish. And then we can tell you, hey, have you thought about this? Have you looked at these different programs? Or, if you're trying to scale, it's like, well, how are you going to finance that? Being more strategic versus just saying, okay, you had a good year. Let's report that on your tax return, see what you owe. And then you just keep hitting the reset button.
So obviously you are there to help.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there to hurt. But is it a common experience for you to meet new clients and have them a little bit afraid of you? Just like, oh boy, I don't know about this, Jomo.
I would say that the folks that are either referred to us or meet us online or, somehow they learn about us, it's more of a sense of curiosity. And it's also one of those things where whether it's information on our website or things that they've read, they're like, well, I hear that you help business owners do this. I've always wondered about that. And if they can be educated, then all of a sudden the guard goes down. What they don't want to do is be sold, right? And so that's what we try to do. It's, you know, in E3, the first E is educate. So we spend a lot of time providing them information and also showing them, well, there's a roadmap to get where you want to go.
Yeah.
You've never known that because you've just been lost. So nobody ever gave you a map to show you how you could get to where you're wanting to go. That's something we do for all of our clients.
Take this anywhere you want. I don't need you to crap on anybody, but I would love to hear an honest assessment of the financial planning industry.
Yeah.
Like when you got into this decades ago, yep, and you look forward to 2026, like how are you doing?
There are a lot of really great firms, and I've met a ton of financial professionals that focus in tax, wealth, estate planning, asset protection in my 30 plus years. What I will say is the great ones are a small percentage. And so what most people are used to is the run of the mill advisor who is doing their best to try and serve their clients, but they're not really bringing much to the table that's different than anybody else. And what you've seen because of that is the rise of people that self-manage their investments, that self-manage their tax, their cash flow, their bookkeeping, because they're like, okay, well, I'm not getting any value from the people I pay. And then it becomes very transactional. It's not relationship-based. It's not strategic. It's just transactional. So for us, what we try to do is help people understand, well, even though that's been your experience, that's not actually the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
If you can realize that strategies are there, get educated, and then somebody can show you how you can go from where you are to where you want to be, people are very excited to hear that.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously anyone who qualifies to come see you is a smart, talented person.
Absolutely.
But being a smart, talented person who has thought of a better way to make a widget, you don't
very
need to
different.
Be doing everything.
Yes. And normally you want that person to stay focused in the area where they're making money, but they want to also have the same level of expertise with people to help them keep the money they're making.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite part of it? Like when you land a client and you're like, this is going to be fun.
Is learning their story and understanding what drives them, like what makes them wake up every day and want to keep growing the business or be better. And so once you understand that and you're like, okay, well, what if we could just help you focus on doing that more often? And, you know, for a lot of business owners, the ultimate goal is to sell their business or pass it on to their kids or, you know, to an employee that's been with them for a long time. When you figure that out and you can say, okay, let us help you accomplish that, and you do it and you optimize the value of the business and they have a transition plan and they're able to like wake up that next day and be like, hey, I did it. I, you know, all those years of hard work actually paid off. That's exciting. You get a thrill out of that.
So I know nothing about what you do, but I have a sense that when people with money pass away and when people with businesses pass away, that it is usually a quagmire.
Yes, that's a kind way of, yes. I would call it a cluster.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So like even when you think you're prepared,
yes,
it's still going to be pretty bad.
Yes, and businesses and illiquid assets are really hard to manage once the owner has Pat, right? Unless you have a detailed plan of here's what I need to happen if I'm not here any longer, then it that quagmire it impacts a lot of people.
Yeah. Is that one of the first things you jump on with people? Do we want to take a look at their trusts?
I would say the first thing we jump on is taxes because it's quantifiable and they can feel it and see it. And then it becomes by the end of that relationship, after a couple years, getting to those things, because if you want to really plan the estate, the entity structure, the asset protection part, you have to have a lot of like heart-to-heart real conversations, and they have to make tough decisions, right? They have to figure out, what does this look like when I'm no longer here? Most people, they say they want to do that, but they don't really enjoy that, right? It's like, I'm talking about this stuff like I'm gone.
Yes.
And not very few people want to actually take those steps because then it's final, right? Like then it's actually in place, which makes it real. And for a lot of people, they have to kind of move into that. But yes, when you can get to that point and you can kind of sew everything up, it feels really good. And most of those clients are like, oh, I wish I would have done this sooner. But reality is it takes a couple years of really seeing all those pieces fit together. It's like a puzzle. And that's like the last couple pieces is that estate planning and, you know, liquidity event type stuff.
Makes sense. If you want to talk to John, you can find him at e3wealth.com. Thank you, Jomo. Appreciate
it. Thank you.